Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's no lie.
That's no lie.
Hoping you had a terrific weekend. It's going to be a really rough day for Darren Weir in Victoria. He's got a show cause hearing, and it's going to continue in front of Racing Victoria stewards today. Should determine whether he can enter horses in the Ore Stakes this weekend. There's differing reports, some saying he'll fight the charges, the six serious charges levelled against him later on today, or in fact he may well just throw in his licence. All will be revealed later on today in Melbourne. Lise was fantastic winner of the Expressway Stakes and firms now for the All-Star Mile, although isn't in that top 10. I'm pretty sure with that discretionary powers for the committee, they'll be throwing Elise in that All-Star Mile. And the Golden Slipper credentials go on the line for Dawn Passage and Accession in Saturday's English Millennium. And we saw a very nice colt and a very nice filly step out on the weekend. McLaren, extremely impressive in the Cannonball on debut. Let's get the thoughts of our racing experts in Ronnie Duffersey. G'day, Duff.
Yeah, g'day, TK. As you said, a good day's racing at Rosehill on Saturday, and plenty of better racing to come up in the next couple of months, that's for sure. But Lise was the star of the show. She was up in class, stayed at 1,200 metres, and really looked the part. She, you know, there was a bit of a worry before the race. Just that soft seven may have brought the other horses a little closer to her, but that wasn't to be the case.
No, it wasn't. She was simply superb. She's at the peak of her powers, which is now onwards and upwards to the Futurity. That's the Group 1, February 23 at Caulfield. And then that All-Star Mile, so James Cummings a little bit concerned. She's not in the top 10 voting at this stage, but I'm sure she's going to be one of the four that will be thrown into the field. At Caulfield on the weekend, they were small fields, but most of the winners were extremely well supported by punters. Three separate female jockeys winning, plus Damien Lane with a treble down at Caulfield. Good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Hey, good morning, TK.
They were small fields, weren't they? You've had a lot of racing, though, haven't you?
Yes, we've had a lot of racing, and of course it was significant with the Darren Weir runners being taken out of the field. So it made the fields a bit of a shell of what they were promising to be.
We'll get into that issue with our listeners on 1353 53, so feel free to get involved there. And it must be big. It must be the start of the autumn carnival when you realise that Glenn Munsey is back. G'day, Glenn.
Good morning, TK. Good morning, Ronnie. Good morning, Dino. Yes, I felt like Duff, you know, 4 months off, but, you know, I'm back and straight back into it, TK. And I tell you what a time of year to be alive here. We saw some very, very interesting performances on Saturday. And, Ronnie, a great segue. You talked about the two-year-olds because beginning this Thursday night on Sky Thoroughbred Central, 10 p.m. to be replayed on Friday night and Saturday morning, is a brand new show on Sky Thoroughbred Central, channel 528 on your Foxtel unit there, named The Golden Path. And it will be solely concentrating on the lead-up to the Golden Slipper. We are 47 days away from the 2019 Golden Slipper to be run at Rosehill. And Ronnie, I haven't got a clue at the moment. People say that normally. I wouldn't have a clue, but I haven't got a clue what the best two-year-old is.
Mean you got less clue now than you normally would have, is what you're trying to say?
Yes, as a standard rating of clueness, I've got zero, people think, but I've got less trying to work out the Golden Slipper. But that's a new show, TK. Ronnie will be, I will be hosting the show. Ronnie will be my co-host, and Lizzie Joffs will be putting her input into it. So that's every Thursday night in the lead-up to the Slipper.
Fantastic.
We are going to be concentrating wholly and solely on what's happening Slipper-wise.
How much did we learn on the weekend, Ronnie, as far as the Slipper? I mentioned we saw a pretty good colt step out. We saw a very, very nice filly step out as well. What did you make of it? Let's go with McLaren first. $1.55 chance, big spruce course. Everybody expected it to win, but it came out and did the job. But did sweat up badly on an extremely warm day.
Yeah, it wasn't just that. He got on the toe. He just didn't do a lot of things. There was a lot of negatives there prior to the race. The market stayed solid with him. I thought his trial, well, most people saw his trial. It was brilliant. He'd won three trials leading into the race. He's a real racy little customer and a typical two-year-old type. But let's just see. His next run's going to tell us if he goes forward or he could go the other way. You know, and let's face it, the fillies overall run quicker than him, albeit marginally. So I think it was two strong enough races, and Glenn's right. I've got no idea about this slipper as well. I know he's a deserved favourite to sort, and he's the go-to horse, but let's just wait to see if he shows it again when he steps out next time. The Silver Slipper is going to be an interesting race. I can even find some horses out of the trials that haven't raced that look slipper types to me. And I must say, and I'm interested in what Dino says about Love and Gabby. I thought she was sensational there on Saturday as well. She looks a really, really good filly.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. Now, the Snowdens actually reported after the race for McLaren, which was a $380,000 buy at the Magic Millions, that there's a lot of room for improvement. That would come with fitness, Duff and Glenn and Dean, but it would also come with just that maturity of getting that first race start underway and the behaviour of McLaren.
Oh, no doubt. You know, he's had a trip away at the races. It's hot. There's noise. There's... You know, yeah. it's all new and foreign to some horses. Cope with it really well. There was two beautiful colts in that race, I tell you. And they just looked the part. And in Magnate and Spring Loaded, they're two really good colts in their own right. Whether they're sharp 2-year-old Golden Slipper types, I'm saying their next run is going to tell you that as well. But they were really, really nice horses.
Yeah. And just looking at him, Ronnie, on Saturday, he pulled a shoe up at the tie-up stalls, McLaren, and he got buzzed up when he was in the enclosure. And, you know, when you looked at him and he was going to be fired, you just knew when he was going to jump, he was going to fire up because he was on the toe. But, you know, when he came back, it wasn't surprising to see him just knock up probably the last 50 metres, and Spring Loader took a fair bit of ground off him, and even Chris's horse that ran fourth took a fair bit of ground off him. But he was entitled to, when you consider, you know, how much nervous energy he would have got rid of in the lead-up to the race in the first half of the race.
No doubt. Sure. You know, he did do it sitting outside the lead as well. You'll be the 1-1, you can peel and savage the line. When you're chasing down a fast horse like Exceed the Stars left there a little bit maybe too soon, and then you're a sitting shot for something late. But it really was never in doubt. But if he would have raced away, you would have said, yeah, wow, there's your new Golden Slipper favourite. So let's have a look next time.
Okay, Tussaud is still there at $4.50, Glenn. I'll get a check of the market there. And McLaren, I think the boys at tab.com.au has got it now on the line with a few others around that $11 mark. Dino, what did you make of McLaren and Immersement?
I think I've always sort of liked McLaren off the trials, and his performance was good. They were totally different race structures, the way they were run, but the boys very, very steady early and worked home, and the fillies race had a lot higher pressure early. But, I think they're competitive, but I think the filly that we saw win at Caulfield Saturday will match them. And Loving Gabby.
Yeah. What a win that was. I mean, it was... she was fantastic, Dino. At one stage, I thought, my God, she's not going to get out here. But once she got off the fence and saw a little bit of clear space, didn't she? I think, as Roddy would say, savage the line.
Yeah, she did. And, the first part of the race didn't go well. She missed the start. She probably bumped the rail on a couple of occasions, had to go for a neat run. But that acceleration off the bend to the 200 where she ran into another bit of a traffic jam was, I just thought, exceptional. And then on the line, she was very soft. She's big filly. She's ready for, you know, two-year-old racing.
And Dino, last Saturday, typically the off week for two-year-olds, when you consider, you know, the Blue Diamond, we had preludes or previews the previous week. We've got them this week going into the Blue Diamond on the 23rd. So you think they dodged, all those Blue Diamond hopefuls to get her ready for Saturday?
Well, they'd scratched her twice last weekend. They had her in Friday and Saturday, and they had her in Friday again at Moonee Valley. But they thought this was the way through to get prize money enough, and the 3 weeks into the Diamond. And it has worked well in the past. Extreme Choice did it three or four years ago, and Star Witness when it was run at Flemington 3 weeks out did it. So it's not beyond the realms, that's for sure.
And I don't think it was any fluke or any surprise, because, well, I must say, 10 days ago someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, you're going to see something special in Melbourne, and they said Loving Gabby, and I must say it was right. They were right, and I was surprised she started such a good price.
Yeah, and she tightened up on the day.
And she's built like a boy, isn't she? I mean, she's a big, strong thing.
She's a big, strong filly, and beside her stablemate there, who's only tiny, it really accentuated it. But she's put herself right into calculations for the Blue Diamond.
And we
convinced someone to have 500 on it in the slipper here at $15 as well.
Right,
straight away.
Yeah.
We're talking about the slipper, but I'm saying this Blue Diamond prior to it is shaping up very well when you're looking at horses like Catch Me, Brooklyn Hustle, Love and Gabby, and this Aetheria is another fly in the ointment, because she was brilliant in a recent trial, and I'm Immortal, it's up and going and winning, and who knows what's going to happen in the next Rapid Charge heats.
Yeah, Brooklyn Hustle as well. She's yeah. She trialled very well last week, so she's ready to go. Ben Mellum's going to ride her. So, no, I think the Saturday's races will be another really integral part of it.
So, Dino, you got Catch Me $4 in the Blue Diamond. Brooklyn Hustle, you mentioned, he's got trialled well $6. And then Love and Gabby at the $6. So Love and Gabby looks like a little bit of value there.
Oh, she's probably, I think she won't be much shorter than that on the day, because she's not going to race beforehand, and there'll be spooks, you know, something will come out and win brilliantly on Saturday, and she might touch $7 or $8 for a couple of days, but I think that's about her price on the day.
And Glenn, the slipper market, can we have an update there, please?
Righto, the slipper market as it stands at this stage, TK, to sort, I think it's going to trial next week. It's a $4.50 year favourite over Exhilarates, the Magic Millions winner, at $8. We've got Catch Me at $11. Dawn Passage, who we'll see go around in the English Millennium on Saturday, is an $11 chance. McLaren, who was 26 into 15 before it raced on Saturday, after it won, was 15 into 11. Then we go to Accession, Dubious, Loving Gabby, and Time to Rain, all at $15, and a hatful of them at $26, including Immersement. Theory's an interesting one. Was originally nominated for the slipper, didn't pay the second acceptance, so it now classifies as not nominated. So for it to get into the slipper, they have to pay the late entry fee, so that tells you it may not have been coming along how they thought early doors when the first noms were paid.
Well, she'll pay her own way, and if she's going well enough, and they're not, I don't think they'll shy at the figure if she's going well enough.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It was look, it's so exciting to see everything unfolding so quickly now, and then coming up at Warwick Farm this Saturday is this Millennium, the Inglis Millennium, $2 million. You've got Dawn Passage there, Ronnie, at $3 a session, $4, and then in Melbourne we've got the CF4 Stakes, the Group One.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? It comes upon us pretty quickly, and those two favourites in the Millennium really look dominant as far as that market looks right. Whether they're the right way round, I don't know. Dawn Passage comes out of a fast race and look very, very good running fast time, and probably one of a few two-year-olds that have run time this year, but the time was set up for him. A session just is a racehorse. There's no doubt he just flops along. He had a track gallop there between races on Monday. He looked like Humphrey the Camel, but that, apparently that's just him. He's just a lay-back two-year-old, which is a good sign. And it'll be interesting to see how that market unfolds, you know, come race day, if they're going to stay close together or they isolate one to single out. I think they're going to stay pretty close together.
Let's have a close look at the Expressway Stakes with Ken here, Ronnie, because Elise was simply, well, better than most people expected, and there were some doubts about that slow track. It was a slow seven to start the day. It stayed that way. Even James Cummings himself was a little bit worried about the slowness of the track. But she was simply brilliant.
Yeah, she was, wasn't she? She's obviously, she's up and going early because of that bleeding attack. She was in the middle of nowhere, but they've targeted a comeback early here. She's gone bang bang. She's really looking a real futurity horse and an all-star mile horse. There's no doubt about that. And she's just in fantastic order. She's a monster. Lorimane was fantastic. He just got held up, missed the start, held up. Should have finished a lot closer, although she was still only in second gear there, Elise. Dothraki does what Dothraki does. He snaps at their heels. He had a fitness edge. Probably the disappointment was Trapeze Artist, but still, he's soft track forms. He's heavy, as Gerald said on Saturday morning, his heavy track form is good. His good track form is lethal. And his soft track form is awful. So I want to be forgiving.
I thought he'd had a win on a soft track.
I think it was heavy.
Elise. Okay.
I know
he's had one. Yeah. Not Elise, sorry. Trapeze Artist. I thought he'd had a win on a heavy. He'd had a win on a soft, I thought. Yeah. I haven't got my book in front of me.
He ran second in the, but, obviously on that, he ran second in the Everest on a very heavy track. I thought he ran well in the slipper, I think, on a very heavy track. Yeah. He may have had one run.
He'd run fourth of nine, his second run in a race on a soft seven at Randwick, starting at $11 chance after winging a maiden at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. His other soft run, you've got to go to the Expressway Stakes. He won a soft five, the Expressway last year.
So it was a soft five win.
They ran 1.10.4, so it wasn't that soft, really. There he's two soft runs until
Saturday.
But
he's had a win on a soft and he's had a win on a heavy. So can you really use the excuse of a soft seven?
No, you've got to listen to the trainer, and he was saying
it was
that
below par, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he was below par. I mean, and he was heavily supported, wasn't he?
Yeah, look, he was. But he's soft, as Glenn said, his soft win was on they did run 1.10.
To put it into comparison, they ran 1.11.3. They ran nearly a second slower than he ran last year.
Look, let's just assess him next time. Next time we'll be against Winx, though.
And tell you what, there few blokes with sore wrists this morning after getting Elise out. $1.80 to $3, not a bad drift.
It's always going to happen.
Mm.
Support
came.
Yeah, Glenn, your mob cuddled two horses there on Saturday.
How did they go, Ronnie?
Yeah, Elise and Seaway.
Did they go?
I was peeking over the shoulder there. If you're due for a bonus, put it in for now, will you?
Mm. That's just to pay the extras for the holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the teddy bear treatment, they call that. Just give them a cuddle.
And Dino, can I get your assessment, mate, of the Expressway?
Yeah, she's just in the zone, I think, Elise. She's going along beautifully. Trapeze Artist in the yard, Ronnie, just a bit big too as well.
Yeah, yeah, he was. And he was, you know, it's typical little sweaty around the flanks there and whatever. There's just little things there. We could call him a little bit of a hot and cold performer. When he's hot, he's very, very hot and probably untouchable.
But he's going to be hot for hopefully first week of April, so it's still a fair way away.
Exactly.
TJ Smith into the All Age or something.
That's right. He's got a busy schedule.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll go to your feature race down there, and Written By was extremely well supported, as always, and justifiably so with the form lines of Written By. But Bonds Away got up on the fence for Linda Meach, and that was all she wrote and Written By. I haven't checked the sectionals and I haven't checked the early times there, but I thought it got a pretty soft lead there, Dino.
Yeah, I don't know if that suits him though, TK. I like him better rolling along a bit harder.
Okay.
I think he's a better high rolling. I think they've actually, from his 2-year-old days where they used to let him really rip along, I think they've cuddled him a bit. Even in the spring, I thought they were a bit conservative with him. And again on Saturday, I like him better ripping along and. I just thought he going steady in the middle stages gave Bonds Away to get right up on his back and then was able to duck up the inside and beat him right on the line. I mean, the gauge is that he beat Encryption about two lengths. He's beaten Encryption 2 to 3 lengths all their careers. That's where they sit. So he's run to about where he's been running, but I think his best asset is his absolute high speed.
Could not agree more. Sometimes you see these horses who set up their form.
Yeah.
And it's all speed, and you think, wow, this is a good horse. And then people panic. I've got a good horse. I've got to teach it how to settle. Hootson was one. And she used to beat him with brilliance, and they said, oh, we've got a good horse. We've got to ride her with a sit now. It doesn't. Why take away from
its
their
asset.
Strengths?
Yeah, and the other thing is that as a 2-year-old around this time last year, they were having problems with him at the barrier, so he's having a lot of trials. He was hard fit, and he wasn't the Blue Diamond winner. He was coming through. I think ever since he's just been given that, you know, like, you know, the treatment of a really good colt, and I think they've trained him well. But I think the tactics, I think, could be a bit more aggressive.
Yeah, you think you're conserving some of his energy, or any horse that they do that to.
It's negative.
You let their head go.
Yeah.
They give you nothing.
No, well, they've pulled against the rider for long enough that's just taken that bit out of them.
Well, there's a couple of things there. It's probably and it keeps everybody else in the race.
Yeah, well, you're not taking the sting out of those. You know, that's a great race scenario for Bonds Away, because he's got about a 200-metre sprint, and Linda Meach was able to duck to the inside, just inside the 200, and just use it. So,
To follow out of that race, we stick with Written By?
Oh, look, he's going to be competitive in the Oakley Plate for sure. I think I still want to see these three-year-olds beat the older horses. Probably the only one so far that we've seen down here was Sunlight, being unlucky in the Manicato and then winning the Coolmore. But other than that, they just haven't quite won yet as the transformed from the spring to the autumn.
Mm. Duff, you go.
Is Antar a good horse?
Antar's a fascinating horse, I know that. He's got a winning streak of 2.5 years over four runs or something. He obviously had an injury and was in Tasmania, and then Jason Warren's taken him over. He won with him first up off the long spell at Pakenham. He was well in the betting at Mooney at Flemington. He was a late scratching. He missed that run, went to Pakenham, won again, and on Saturday he beat them fair and square. I think at least a low-grade stakes race for him, but he's got a very good winning habit.
Nantali was the win that stood out for me down there at Caulfield as well. It was quite a soft victory.
Self-interest for me too, TK. It was the best of the day, so I thought it was the standout of the day too. I'm with you all the way.
So where does it go, a horse like Nantali?
Oh, well, we've got a series of stakes races for the mares in the next few weeks that she can probably have a go at, through to the Matron Stakes and Sunline Stakes. And, I mean, they might want to try and even get up to Sydney for... Yeah, the Coolmore Classic with a lightweight, because she's a pretty talented mare, and I think the better race she goes in, the better she'll go, because she can over-race, so I think the faster race she gets in, the better she'll go.
So she's certainly one to stick with, no doubt.
No doubt. She's only had four runs in. She carried 60 kilos on Saturday. She's better than that grade, and I'll be interested to see how the next few weeks pan out for her.
All right, we're going to get an update with the news and the sporting headlines now that it's 9:30 with Madison, and then we're going to take your calls on 13:53:53. I'll get to as many text messages as we possibly can as well, right throughout the morning on this edition of Punters Postmortem.
Sky Sports Radio brings you the best in Sydney night racing. Come and lap up free entry and a wide array of the best food markets in town at Canterbury Friday night. If you can't be trackside, the late mail, interviews and the calls are all here on Sky Sports Radio.
The catalogue for a bigger, better Inglis Classic yearling sale is out now. Extended to more than 1,000 horses with 5 days of selling at Riverside Stables, February 9, 10, 11, 12 and 14, 2019. Catalogue available at inglis.com.au.
Madison Clare with the 9:30 sporting and news headlines. Hi, Madison.
Morning to you, Terry. Well, Australia is in a commanding position heading into day four of the second test against Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka resume none for 17 this morning, still trailing by 498 runs. Michael Klinger scored 30 runs in his Perth Scorchers farewell as they upset the Melbourne Stars by 27 runs last night in the Big Bash, while Matt Renshaw belted 90 not out off 50 balls as the Brisbane Heat crushed the Adelaide Strikers by 6 wickets. The Sydney Kings have locked their spot in the playoffs for the first time since 2013 after a 16-point win over the Brisbane Bullets. The Kings take on defending champs Melbourne on Friday. And young Aussie driver Matt Campbell has given Porsche its maiden Bathurst 12-hour race title with a nail-biting victory from Aston Martin gun Jake Dennis at Mount Panorama yesterday. That's all the latest on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Your next chance to experience Kia Friday Night Racing at Canterbury Park is Friday, February 8th.
Enjoy live music and delicious delights at the Canterbury Foodies Market.
A host of kids' entertainment and the nightly $1,000 cash giveaway.
With free entry, it's a Friday night carnival that everyone can enjoy.
So get your friends, family and colleagues together at Canterbury Park on February 8th and every Friday this February for Kia Friday Night Racing. Hospitality packages start at $60 in the Guinea's restaurant. To find out more, visit theraces.com.au.
Thursday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
Looking forward to a chin wag today, as always.
Chin Wag with Cozzy brings you in-depth chats with racing stars past and present.
Delighted to have a chat with you.
Hear what makes our racing personalities tick. Thursday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
And here is a champion. Cracksman wins the champion in fantastic style.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
This is Punter's Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio.
Time to take your calls for our expert panel. We've got good to have Glenn Munsey back, Dean Lester, and also Ronnie Duffacy. So 13 53 53, if you call now, you'll get through all things on the racing agenda. Don't forget text messages, get them coming in 0419 767 272. If you've got any queries regarding what happened over the weekend or what's happening in the world of racing, obviously all eyes will be on Racing Victoria Stewards today with this inquiry, the show cause inquiry into what's going to be happening with Darren Weir. Two schools of thought, he'll go there and fight the six charges currently against him. The show cause notice, why his runners should be allowed to be starting in events, or he will throw his license in. Dino, have you got any intel there? Good morning again, mate.
No, I don't. Depends which street corner you want to talk on.
Yes.
No, I don't know what the state of play is at this stage, but all will be revealed about 2 o'clock. But I think the general consensus is that it was negotiated, I think, on Friday or very late Friday, that the horses could at least be entered for Saturday so that the owners weren't penalised within the show course notice being at 2 o'clock and entries being at midday.
Yeah.
So I know that's gone ahead. So horses like Land of Plenty's gone to Kiramar now, but 50 Stars, Whispering Brook, that are in the Oar, and there'll be a lot of them entered. The entries can actually be accepted, but then the show calls notice is at 2 o'clock, and then it'll be all sorted out.
Yeah, Dean, the horses that you manage, do you have any with Darren?
About 20.
And what have you done with them?
They're still horse like 50 Stars did his gallop this morning for Saturday.
Yeah.
So he's prepped up. So if he does have to move, say tomorrow, his preparations for Saturday are done. He had a solid gallop this morning, and Whispering Brook I know was in the same boat. And if they have to move, they'll move tomorrow, and we will take it from there. But I'm meeting with Jerry Ryan, who I manage most, his horses at midday, and we've got a contingency plan to sort of disperse the horses amongst different trainers should the need arise.
And I know you've told me you've got a meeting with Jerry at around midday, but just say Darren's allowed to keep training, would you keep the horses? Would it be your belief that you'd keep the horses there with Darren?
I would expect so, yep. Yeah, I would expect so. I certainly wouldn't want to move a horses like 50 Stars and Furion that are well in the system. Whether there was a thought with younger horses that we haven't yet tried, whether, to ease the burden of the numbers at the stable, I'm not sure, but that's something that we'll have to try and work out today.
And, mate, just a personal point, I imagine you were as shocked and horrified as everybody else?
I was certainly to wake up Wednesday morning to the news that there was raids on the stable and the two stables, and from there to have to sort of comprehend it all, really, because it's one thing that it's a racing industry issue, but there's a massive human element to this, because
absolutely.
I mean, the communities and the economies of Warrnambool and Ballarat will suffer greatly. The amount of people that rely on getting a wage out of the Weir stable, and whether they'll have to relocate to continue in the industry, should they have to, and even the riders that have committed themselves, in a bit of a mentoring role with young Ethan Brown and Ben Allen, and they've committed very strongly to the stable over the last 2-3 years, and Saturday their rides are all scratched. So
I was talking about it earlier. It's the knock-on effect, isn't it? I mean, I think many people speak about Darren, but it'd be hundreds of people he would employ in those two country towns.
Yeah, and it's the small trainers that he feed out three or four to pre-train to, and they might train one of their own and five of his or something like that. You know, there's fellows that you would never barely have heard of, like Mark O'Donnell, who I think's got about 10 pre-trainers and might have two of his own. Those sort of people, they've got to reassess their whole lifestyle, really.
What about the bloke that owns a local petrol station? How'd you like to be filling up the float every day where it goes all around Victoria?
It's just a massive knock-on effect, isn't it? 13:53:53.
A bit of drama at the trials here, TK, at Warwick Farm, Lavendi, for the Gelagotis family. Brenton Abdullah, it jumped from the barriers, and Brenton Abdullah had a very long, sustained look back at the barriers after 50 metres and actually pulled Lavendi out of the trial. Then trotted it round past the winning post and dismounted, and they were looking at its offside hip, Lavendi. So we'll try and get some more news what happened there. Maybe it just sort of crashed into the gates or whatever on jumping, but he did have a long, sustained look when he came out of the barriers, Brenton, on Lavendi, and it never completed the course.
Let's hope that's all it is, because he did have that problem after the derby. And if he's looking at his hip, that's nowhere near his leg, is it?
Well, they came out, they weren't looking down towards the ground, put it that way. They were sort of concentrating on eye level.
Hmm. Well, let's take calls now, 13:53:53. Grant back there in the studio is going to give me a little bit of a leg up because I can't see the screen. Mark joins us. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi, boys. Question to Glenn, but I think Dean and old Terry and the Duff as well as punters might have some comment on it. I'm sick to death of these fluctuations which are going on with fixed odds. Who's in charge of fixed odds betting for the TAB?
Glenn?
Sally Snow is the is the fixed odds betting manager for TAB.
Okay. So is she's the person to contact if you've got concerns?
Well, she's the fixed odds manager, so yeah. If it depends how high you want to go.
Your concern?
What's your concern?
The concern is, I'll give you an example. I've logged on this morning at 7:25, just to have I'm a $50 punter, $25 each way.
Right.
Last race in Ballina, there's $100 in the pool. The horse on the fluctuations, on the TAB flux, has gone 13, 11, 12, 9:50. And there's $100 in the pool. Now, there was then a scratching after official scratchings. And there's $102 in the pool, so the pool's decreased, and the damn horse has blown to $13.
Now, just one second. Yeah, you're talking about paramutual betting, right? You're not talking about fixed odds betting. Well, how do you know there's $100 in the pool? You're looking at the paramutual pool. There's $100. Yeah. Don't compare the paramutual pool with what's happening fixed odds. They're two completely separate things. And the scratching that came out was a $3.20 chance. My Unicorn, you're referring to, race 7 Ballina today? My Unicorn...
Race 8. The last race.
Yeah, My Unicorn was a $3.20 chance when it scratched at 7:22 and 21 seconds this morning. And the deduction taken was 24 cents, the win and nothing the place. So you got 24% comes out of your market. The market sitting there at the moment is 132.8%. What's the name of the horse you were trying to back?
It was number 3, I think it was, Wainui Gold.
Yeah, Wainui Gold. Yeah, it's a $13 chance. There's been $8 invested on it today. For a total of $20 since the market went open, averaged out at $11 after the deduction's taken out.
What flux can you tell me that there's been? Am I right that it's gone from 13s to 11s to 9:50 back out to 13?
Give me 30 seconds and I'll tell you. No one gets service like this. That's all I know.
Thank God you're back, Glenn. Otherwise, this could
be a world of pain.
Could have just been taking calls on what ran on Saturday. Yeah,
That's right.
Yeah.
Quali subs, have you worked them out yet, Glenn?
Same horse doubles with all those things there. I've been sitting on a beach for 3 weeks working them out for considering we bet now you can couple up anything, two horses.
Yeah.
I'm getting there, so just talk amongst yourselves for a while, boss. Yeah.
Okay.
You can sort of tell us how the fixed odds are run these days as far as all these computers, and they're all connected to each other's systems, and no one lays a horse individually anymore. It's a different setup altogether. I suppose they've got a business to run, and they've got to make money for their their investors, but just a whole the fluctuations are so misleading these days.
Right.
Yeah. In the old days, start betting on a Wednesday as well, Ronnie. Yeah, so that makes it completely different. And you often find the favourite. I don't know. This is a general broad sweeping statement. The favourite normally gets out right at the death, just before the start, doesn't it?
Ten years ago, or maybe even sooner. You know, if something was $21 into $9, it'd be a really good go. These days, it could be $100. You know, it's just weird.
Well, this horse this morning, prior to scratchings, had gone, well, $11, $12, $13, $9.50, $10, $9.50. Well, that's on the bounce. That's nothing. After the scratchings, it stayed $9. $7.22. It went from $13 to $9.50. So when the other horse was scratched firm, $13 to $9.50. Then went back to $10, back into $9.50. Then went $10, $11, $12, $13.
Matt, so, are you there? Can I say something? And that's on the back of $8 investment.
Yeah, well, it's allowed to get out. I'd be more concerned if it firmed.
Glenn, you come from punting family, mate. You don't go to the races and bookies aren't moving things because someone's come up and put $8 on a horse.
It's moved out. It hasn't moved in.
Doesn't matter. But it came into $9.50, mate.
Came into $9.50 after the 24% chance came out of the market. They do have to firm to get the percentage back into the market when the 9 to 4. Now, there, it's a 9 to 4 chance, $3.20. We only took 24 cent deduction, right? So they've got to come in to get the percentage back to where you were before to start.
Okay.
In the same race, Go Hard Ahula and My Cousin Steve. My Cousin Steve's been... It's the most popular runner. It's $9.50 to $11 today, and Go Hard Hula has been $18 to $9 today, and it's the it's also the most popular runner. Okay. So you know there are firmers.
As Ronnie said, this is happening, and if I've used a bad example, so be it. But it's just happening. Doesn't matter. It could be 10 minutes before a race on a Saturday, and there's five fluctuations, and you don't know when to put your bet on it. Just does your head in. You can't sit there constantly relying on the TAB to give me a message saying, oh, the odds have changed. Do you still want to put your bet on? It's just madness, mate.
Well, mate, how do you think I'm going that I've got to sit there and follow four meetings on a Saturday and try and work out what the fluctuations are? I run through a pen every day.
Yeah.
Well, Sally Snow needs to pull her head in and start operating a business properly because it's going to cost the TAB in the long run.
Yeah. You know?
No, I don't know about that.
I can't see your point. I can't see your point. I think it's been explained. 13:53:53. I'm more worried about Girl Tuesday and what the bloody hell happened to Girl Tuesday in the 7th at Rose Hill on the weekend.
I'm still trying to work that one out as well. All the stars were aligning prior to the race, and you know she went up 4.60 earlier in the week. I know there were scratchings, but she was one of the better goes of the day. Everyone wanted to be honest. So there was no negatives there. There was no slows.
The thing you've got to realise, yet another case of a horse that's impressive in a midweek race starts basically the similar price it did on a Wednesday in a Saturday race, taking on far stronger opposition. Than it's, you know, it did start odds on to beat Mazaz.
It got beat 20 lengths, Glenn.
Yeah, Seaway was coming out of a Group 2 and a Group 3 race over the Brisbane Winter Carnival. Yeah, but Seaway went up favourite, TK.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, look, I get that point.
We get back. So,
what, are you saying Girl Tuesday raced to par?
I couldn't believe Girl Tuesday was favourite in a Saturday, and I've said it plenty of times. I think they're the best races to bet around, horses that are coming out of Wednesday races that go to Saturday races and they start basically a shorter price than they do on a Wednesday.
Yeah, look, you're proven correct here, but I reserve judgment until I see her again. As she'd done too many nice things in those four wins, and she'd looked the part in the trials. She just didn't go there on Saturday. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand she sort of.
Well,
got a
you want the other example? I know he won on Saturday. Thy Kingdom Come. He won a race on the Kensington track as a $3.40 chance in a benchmark 70. His next run in a Saturday benchmark 78, he started odds on. Never ran a place.
Right. Okay.
Well, didn't you watch the race? He was going hammer and tong with the thing the whole way in that race.
Doesn't matter.
It does
he
matter.
Didn't win.
Yeah. All right. That was excuses.
So, Glenn, you don't want to back a midweek winner that starts the same price or less on a Saturday?
Not in a stronger race, TK.
Well, it's always going to be a stronger race, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Saturday races are always stronger.
Mm. So why should you accept a shorter price the next go?
So why is a benchmark 78 of a Wednesday easier than a benchmark 78 of a Saturday? Can you explain that to me?
Because it's the opposition that are in it.
No, because they're all the same benchmark horses. It's the same pool of horses.
Well, why is one worth so much more than
they're
the other?
They've still got that rating. Their Wednesday rating is the same as their Saturday rating.
Mm. Mm. But the prize money's different.
Mm. Yeah. And, Girl Tuesday did pull up with a poor post-race recovery as well.
Yeah, as did the punters who took the short odds at around that $2.
I'm surprised they didn't have the thumps and the mumps and the measles, the lot.
Has it been vaccinated?
Yeah, I don't know.
This one comes in from, hi, it's Steve. And Steve, I'm a schnitzel lover. Recently, I've been checking the speed maps of each race and I'm finding it's a great help in finding a winner. Can the panel tell me if they all follow the speed maps and does it help them greatly? Cheers, gentlemen, says Steve. I think our entire panel will say the speed maps are pretty important. Ronnie, I'll let you go first.
Just a very, very important part of the puzzle. Probably more percentage into the speed maps than the other little pieces of the pie. I couldn't agree more. The speed maps are very important. Yeah, you don't get them right all the time, and they do change.
I was going to say, they are different, and it comes down to intent. And exactly. You can't often predict the intent of how much a rider wants a spot. They're certainly, there's some sort of guide.
They'd be the first thing you do, Dino, wouldn't they?
They are the first thing I do, TK. Put them into a position and have a think about where they're going to be and who's, I have, set rules with certain riders that I put, certain riders, one pair further close, forward and one pair further back because that's their style. That's the way they like to ride. And that's what when I refer to intent. You just can't use speed figures or previous, precedents of how they've been ridden in races. You can look at position in running and see that they've settled, second, and they might be running 18 lengths below standard. So in a standardly run race, they'll be a mile off the lead. So,
You look at Chris Waller horses, wide barriers, 99.9% of the time go back.
Yep.
Inside draws, perfect case. Let's get back to Seaway and Girl Tuesday.
Yep.
Speed map said Seaway was going to be a long way in front of Girl Tuesday in the run Saturday, and that's how it turned out.
Yeah, well, I don't think there was any doubt about that.
But they're not the be-all and end-all of everything because you could have a situation where you get a change of tactics.
Track bias can change tactics. It can change speed maps as well.
And just the barriers go back and the old speed maps can go straight out the window. Let's keep taking calls on 13:53:53. Tez wants everyone to be betting into Ballina today. Let's all get on the last in Ballina, boys.
Get
bring the price right in. That'll do his head in. Tez. Let's not confuse the issue any more than we need to at the moment. Hello, Kurt.
There's been $28 on it since he started tipping it up anyway.
Yeah. Hello, Kurt.
G'day, CK. How are you?
Never better.
That's the way. Hey, just for old mate there, race 6, number 4 today at Cessnock. Cloudless sky, 460 on the fixed. Get on, mate.
Race 6, number 4, cloudless sky. Is it at Cessnock?
Yep, it's a maiden. Just on the person who invented fixed odds, whoever he or she is, needs their feet to be kissed. The best invention since sliced bread, without a shadow of a doubt.
I'm tipping a lot of old bookies. Current bookies don't agree with you.
They're busy. That's why I don't agree with that bloke, mate. Fixed odds rules. Now, Ronnie.
Yes, Kurt.
Mate, just with that little conversation you were having with Munns.
Yep.
There's no answer because you're right both ways. I remember clearly, and so even worse than your point of view, backing Tornado Gal on a Thursday at Hawkesbury towards the middle of last year or towards the end, and then its next start was in town. I put my whole life savings on it, and it won with these. So there's a 62 from Hawkesbury into, I think it was Ronnie, an 84 or a 90 or whatever, in town at Rose Hill or what's the name, or Royal, and it won. And then there's Munns' point of view, which I'm Tuesday Girl's number one card holder, but I couldn't back her there on Saturday because Seaway, I love that horse. And just like Munn said, look at the form compared to Girl Tuesday. And sure, what Girl Tuesday's done is it's extraordinary till date. But, I mean, I couldn't have backed it. And not just that, Ronnie, with what you said, sure, class slash grade race is one thing. But then there's horse flesh you've got to take that's in that race. And I've got to go with Munns, Ronnie. Like, you can't compare let's just say we're talking about an 80 on a Wednesday compared to an 80 that you find on a Saturday. The horses that are in there are all coming off the same class grade, but the horse flesh, they're just better horses, Ronnie.
Yeah, look... I get where Glenn's coming from because that's his rule, and a lot of punters have their rules, and a lot of price assessors have their rules, and probably in the long run that they might finish in front, but it does not always work out that way.
Absolutely not. And if you want to go a bit further, Ronnie, if you want to like do the numbers and see which argument wins, yours probably does.
No, I'm not saying that. I think every race is a different challenge, so maybe you can be a little bit negative for that point that Glenn brought up, but sometimes the ability can override that, and I got her wrong on Saturday. I thought her ability would override that class rise and override the the barrier and the tempo, but it didn't. It nowhere near did.
Kurt, have you got one more for Dino? Because he's feeling a bit left out.
It's 2 weeks in a row.
Just one for Dino. Dino, what's that other major two-year-old race when the Diamonds finished over there? I forgot the name of it because I got a horse that I want to back in it, but I need to remember the name of the race.
You told me the name of it, Kurt.
Not the showdown, just the another one that's tried and trusted down there.
No, we've only got the Size Produce after that, so.
And there's another one, Dino. There's another one.
If you say so, Kurt.
There's a two-year-old race every week.
Well, anyway, I want to back Shih Tzu, and I was wondering if he or she was going there.
I wouldn't lock into anything long-term or short-term with Shih Tzu because talking with Mick Kent, the trainer of that filly, he doesn't know if he's going to get her very far because she's very light. She's very good. Hoping maybe she can get to the Blue Diamond, but she'd have to get there next run and sneak into the field. She's only got about 15,000 in prize money, so she'll need a lot of luck. He can't run her again. He doesn't think he'd have a horse. So if you don't see her in the Blue Diamond, you mightn't see her for a while, Kurt.
All right, well, that's good info.
Okay, off you go. Bye, Kurt. We're taking calls on 13:53:53. We've got Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffersey, Glenn Munsey back from holidays. Nice and fresh now, although probably not so fresh after our earlier caller. But let's keep taking calls and say hello to Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, guys. I really like the show. Duffersey or Glenn, could you tell me if they're doing anything special for the sales this Saturday night after the Millennium? Are they showing them on TV?
I don't think they're on TV. They'll be live on, if you can get on the internet, on the William Inglis site. They provide a very good service.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you've got a computer and you go to William Inglis and Son, you'll just have to click and you can watch the sale live. And it's quite a good service.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, Perth.
You're buying, Anthony?
Perth races will be on Sky Thoroughbred.
Yeah.
No. But a few of my friends might, but,
Yeah, it's a good interest.
I just back them.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit like you, look forward to it. We've got that big sale coming up. It's been another terrific innovation, hasn't it? The $2 million Inglis Millennium on the weekend. So Dawn Passage, $3, a session, $4. And then down in Melbourne, we've got the CFO Stakes in the Group 1 action coming up in Melbourne as well. And it's just a matter of watch this space about what horses are actually going forward from there. Betty from Long Jetty, she's a bit of a fan of you. Fan of yours, Glenn, can you please explain why you get half the odds when you take the Cups doubles on the same horse? No, we keep that for exclusively. That debate is for October on Glenn, Punters Postmortem.
While we're abusing bookmakers and all sorts of things, we might as well stay on. Can you explain this NOP to me? Because it's just a non-event. I look at these prices on track for the best flux from the bookmakers, and the NOP is just so bland and different.
Well, we should explain first what the NOP is, because a lot of punters hear it and they go, and on the NOP, this has happened, and nobody really quite knows what the NOP is, Glenn.
Well, they'll only hear that in New South Wales because it's the New South Wales official price. In Canberra, I think it's the AOP. In Queensland,
all
it's
of
the
them.
QOP.
All
it's
of
the
them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the NOP, just that, right. that's the price on track with the bookmakers, correct?
No, no. The NOP is not the market that is on track at the races. The NOP is a blended conglomeration of X amount of corporate bookmakers, and right. the on-course bookmakers are part of that. I don't know who right. makes up, you know, the weighted average, what it is.
Yeah, what parts
it's go into
what? It's
actually supplied by Dynamic Odds.
Okay.
So Dynamic Odds is the basically the rights holder of the official price now, and they use a system where a number of corporate bookmakers, their prices are put in. The on-course bookmakers are put in and they come up with basically what be best described as a blended price that is available. The on-course price, as has been the case with bookies since, you know, year dot, would probably, on average, maybe 5% less. I know when, you know, I was working for Col and say, top fluck at the races, more often than not, was that close to 100. It wasn't funny.
Mm.
Even, you know, the percentage
well,
that was going
at least
out.
They,
was,
at least they hit 330, I think, best fluck.
Yeah. And so they bet under 100% in that race without doubt on Saturday. Probably, normally, the on-course flux would run around the 110. The NOP will run closer to 118, 116 on that. Yeah, so that's all it is. It's the reason the NOP or this official price was brought in was the fact that a number of minor meetings didn't have the bookmakers that were actually there to provide an accurate market, and the fact that the corporates and the tab betting fixed odds took now command so much more of the market as for dollars invested. That's where the authorities thought the most accurate price would come from.
All right, and that's debatable whether that's right or not. Let's get one more caller in before we say goodbye on this edition of Punters Postmortem. Hi, Andrew.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
Yeah, well, Andrew.
Good, mate. I don't want to bag bookmakers because I think I want to give the on-course bookmakers a rap. Talking about the NOP... Gee, you can do a lot better on track these days if you want to back favourite.
I think
there you go. There's a tip.
Yeah, well, I think the NOP is what it's a negative for. If people, some people used to take with their. There's so many corporates around now. You take best fluck or best of the best or whatever it is, and that's where it's affected. Because if you were taking best fluck with the on-course bookies, you'd be a lot better in better off than taking best fluck with NOP. Yeah.
And I mean, Ronnie, can I just say something quickly?
Yes.
Ronnie, on Saturday, by Kingdom Come, they actually bet 480.
Yep.
A couple of bookmakers on track. The NOP was, I think, got out about 420. So if you were there and you bet in a reasonable amount, big advantage to go on course.
Yep,
there you go. There's another advantage of being there on course. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. A quick one. What happened to Perret? This comes in.
Too far back. I really am convinced. It was a good track on Saturday. They played well, but if you got out past the middle of the track, I reckon it was nearly impossible. And Perret and Performer both got out there, and I don't think it was the place to be.
Performer was a very, very nice run.
Be careful.
No, don't worry.
I'm declaring the greatest horse of all time. And yeah.
No, I think I had
retire.
Him in the slipper or something like that. It won once? It's won something.
It won his first start. The
first two.
Yeah, first two.
And that's been it, hasn't it?
That's it. He's only had, that was only his 10th start, but he's...
It was I was on him the other 8 times. Moment the day he bucked you off at 100 metres out. I think that was the moment we all realised, hang on.
Yes.
Yeah, he just... Poor old Huey kept going straight and Performer went left without any blinker or whatsoever. Horse to follow, Ronnie?
Just Adana. Just keep an eye on him in the yard next time. He didn't do everything. Okay. He was pretty ordinary in the yard. So if he comes in there and struts his stuff in the yard next time, I reckon you can bet up. If he doesn't, well, he may just have that little attitude problem.
Okay, there you go. Adana, the horse to follow. Dino, do you have one?
I thought in the last race, a horse called Our Peaky Blinders didn't really come up last time in, but gee, it was a good run first up. He just kept making ground, and he can get up to 2,000 metres. So not in a high grade, but he can win pretty soon, Our Peaky Blinders.
Our Peaky Blinders. And Glenn, do you have one?
I was going to say Girl Tuesday back to a Wednesday, but no. I'll defer TK to next week. The barrier draw for the Inglis Millennium, live tomorrow morning from the Inglis Complex, the Riverside Stables, at 11:30 on Sky Thoroughbred Central. So final field for the Inglis Millennium tomorrow morning and the barrier draw at 11:30.
Okay, and can I just leave you all with this, but in particular for Glenn, Bob has texted in Glenn Munsey's favourite song today. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. There you go, from Bob. Yeah, poor old Glenn. Got the rounds of the table. Good to have you back, though, Glenn.
Yeah, $49 invested now in Wainui Gold. Still a $13 chance in race 7 at Ballina. Good luck to everyone invested.
It's good for business.
Nice to have you back. Thanks, Dino. Good luck with everything. You've got a busy week coming up.
Thank you, TK. Yes, I have. Not really looking forward to it, but we'll get through. We'll be back next Monday.
Exactly. Not great for racing, is it? And Duff, have a good week, buddy. Enjoy
Thanks,
the Super Bowl.
Yeah. We'll go and make a cup of coffee, and we'll posse up in the grandstand.
And we'll know in 6 hours' time the winner of the Super Bowl. We look forward to that. Good on you, everybody. Thanks very much. Thanks for all our callers and our text messages. And it's on again next Monday, Punters Post Mortem. But in the meantime, back a whole stack of winners.